trepidation. Some fries. They give you a mountain of fries. I wish they had a real small portion that I'd get. Am I the only one that's pissed off about this? I don't think they have sauerkraut over there, Steve. That's a travesty. The guy's a problem. I'm not sure what he is.
Buccaneers fans, here he is, Ira Kaufman, the sage of Tampa Bay sports. 9.5 days from the NFL draft. He's all fired up. Plenty to talk about today, Ira. Things are happening. The Buccaneers are back to work. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeCamper of JoeBucksFan is here. And all the fun is presented by the biggest, most impressive car dealership in North America. That's what it's become now at Bill Curry Ford after the massive reimagined dealership has opened up a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. GM Sean Sullivan, he's our draft guru, Ira, the JoeBucksFan.com draft guru, and his best-in-class podcasts are all over JoeBucksFan.com, where if you want to know who these prospects are and why the Bucks might like them, you're going to listen. And there's a lot of fast information there, which is always good. You can know everything about the offensive lineman in half an hour. So kudos to Sean for his great work this season. And you can find him at Bill Curry Ford, where they have the nationwide lifetime warranty on all new vehicles, where they are matching your tax return up to $5,000 on a new vehicle, which is fantastic. That's not a joke. You can see all the details at BillCurryFord.com. They still have their great concierge online ordering service. The Ira Kaufman podcast discount is in effect. Just reach out and great service specials. They'll come to your house and service your vehicle. BillCurryFord.com. And we thank Florida's Elite Restoration. FloridasElitereStoration.com. Sage, fantastic. You go there, you get your education at FloridasElitereStoration.com. You learn about how they've got 25 plus years experience in the insurance industry, and now they're on the other side of battling and fighting for homeowners when disaster strikes your property, mold, fire, flood, storm damage, whatever it might be. And they know firsthand how to deal with this and to make sure that the corruption in the insurance industry doesn't hit you in the pocket. And they also have their own Ira Kaufman discount. When you call, mention you heard about them from Ira or Joe Bucks fan. And if you need their services after a free evaluation at your property, if you then you need them and you sign an agreement to use them, then they'll give you $500 back, maybe cash for your deductible or just cash in your pocket. FloridasElitereStoration.com, whatever it might be, water extraction, demolition, debris removal, they're going to get your property restored. FloridasElitereStoration.com. How are you, Ira? What do you have to say to everybody?
I'm doing well. You know, these Ira Kaufman discounts are they're spectacular, Steve. The initiatives are incredible. I might try it at my Publix tomorrow. Ask for an Ira Kaufman discount when I get to the cashier, because what I used to pay $65 for groceries, it's now $85 or $90, and everybody that's listening to this podcast can relate to what I'm talking about. You said we're 9-10 days away from the draft, Steve. More importantly, I'm about 30 days away from hip replacement. How do you like that, Isbitz? Hip replacement, I'm not afraid of it. I go in there like a lion. I'm not afraid of this stuff. There's no trepidation. And I will place my my left hip in the care of a good orthopedist. And hopefully the anesthesia will wear off, Lee. And when it wears off, the Bucks will still be NFC South champions. Steve, I've been listening. Speaking of Bill Curry Ford, I've been listening to Sean Sullivan's Best in Class podcast. I thought last week was fantastic. I listened to it today on the offensive lineman. I think it's even better. He sounds great. I'm very impressed with the details and, Lee, the time that Sean Sullivan puts in. He's not talking about the top of his off the top of his head. He watches a lot of film. How else are you going to talk about a left guard without watching the film and what the guy does well and what he needs to work on? Very, very impressed. Apparently, Lee, according to our draft guru, this draft is chock full of quarterbacks, offensive line, and wide receivers. Those seem to be the strengths. Maybe corner. Mm. Very weak on linebackers, running backs, and edge rushers, Lee, unfortunately. So I listened very intently to Sean break down the offensive line because, Lee, you and I and Steve would not be shocked if they took an offensive lineman at 26. I don't think they would move up for an offensive lineman. But if somebody fell their way, I think they wouldn't hesitate to take him late. And if they're the best player on the Bucks board, they should absolutely grab Jackson, Powers, Johnson. That's right, Lee. Jackson, Powers, Johnson. And move over Mr. Hainsey. Lee, you might be the last advocate that Robert Hainsey has. I saw you quoted.
I'm not a advocate of his, Ira. I just think it's unfair people wait. They scream bloody murder that he's this you know, Garrett Gilkey II. My eyes. 1-2. Eyes. Up in the press box. Way upstairs. Binoculars. I see him making holes. Now, I'm not saying that's all the time. I'm not saying that's every play. I see him make holes. And you know, this is a broken record. I'm going to repeat it. For whatever reason that I have not been properly explained to, Rashad White doesn't run through the holes. They're there. Not all the time, but they're there. What I am saying is he's not this worthless piece of trash. All the loud crowd where they stomp on the fucking floor all the time because defensive line, offensive line, offensive line, offensive line. That's all they know. They don't know any better. They don't know what to see. They're just mental patients, and it drives me nuts.
Well, Steve, here's where I differ from our comrade here, Lee.
Again, I'm not saying he should not be right.
I know, but Lee,
no, I'm not advocate of the guy, please.
Lee, I can't lay all the blame, not all the blame, for a cruddy running game on Rashad White. I can't give him all the blame. I can't.
He's a big reason he's carrying the damn ball. Aren't you allowed to run through people? Aren't you allowed to run around people? He's demonstrated when he wants to, he can run around people. But for some reason, when he's running the ball, he doesn't do that. And when he catches the ball, he does it excellent.
Wouldn't that lead you to believe that there's not enough holes, that he can dodge somebody?
Well, Jimmy Christmas, if you got to have 5 Hall of Fame linemen for a running back to do anything, then what are we talking about here?
I'm just saying.
I'm saying deserves 50% of the blame, maybe more in some cases. I'm a big believer in, you know, you got the ball, you're a running back, you run through. Mike Allstott. Did Mike Allstott fall on his knees and ball that no one's blocking for him? Hell no. He ran people over. Warren Dunn. Did Warren Dunn run to Tony Dunn? Father Dunn, forgive me, I sinned. I can't run the ball. No, he ran around people.
Well, I want a new running back, Lee, and I want a new center to boot and a new left guard. I want it all. I want it all, Steve.
What else do you want, Ira? And actually, just I did look it up while you guys were talking there. The Ira Kaufman discount at Publix is 1 slice of American cheese. That's what you get.
Steve, why not take advantage where need matches quality in this draft? And I yield to Sean Sullivan in terms of drilling down on these prospects. And Steve, if Sean Sullivan tells me that he's rarely seen so many good interior offensive linemen, guards and centers, and the Bucks are picking 26th. They're not picking 6th. It makes a lot of sense, Steve. Now, you know I'm on record about Brock Bowers. I think there's a 2% chance he's there at 20, never mind 26. Everybody's got him ticketed for the Jets at 10. So I'll cool off a little bit on Brock Bowers, even though, Steve, I will say if he's there in the late teens, I'm getting him. If I'm white, I'm getting him.
I have to apologize to your listeners. Remember, I've been saying one reason I am vehemently against a first-round pick for a center or a guard.
Yes.
Because they must be playmakers. And that I've never in my life seen a center or a guard make a play with the ball after the ball was snapped when you need 6 points and you got to march 80 yards down the field. Never, ever. Never. Well, I lied. There was once. Once. Dean Steinkuhler.
Oh boy, what are you going back 30 years over there at the Kemper?
It
on.
Is, but I gotta be honest. He made the play with Nebraska that damn near beat Miami in the Orange Bowl, and I completely forgot about it. So Dean Steinkuhler actually made a play with the ball, a guard, and when he needed the touchdown, he made it. Of course, the play's now illegal, but hey, he made a play.
Well, you can't even spell that guy's name, and Steve.
Oh yes, Stein, Stein. K-U-H-L-E-R.
Steve, you got to weigh in here before I go crazy because I really don't know why, because Lee's a sharp guy and he knows his football. But I don't understand why he devalues the importance of offensive linemen. I just don't understand it.
Devalue by boost playmakers. Let's put it this way, Ira. When, again, Father Dungey, did they have five Hall of Fame linemen?
No, they had a lousy offense.
They had a lousy offense, but they were winning. So, yeah, I know it was all defense. I'm not overvaluing. I'm emphasizing greatly the need and the value of playmakers.
Steve, I don't get it. I will counter that. Then we'll move on, Steve. We'll move on. But I will say I can think of a lot of examples where a team had an elite offensive line. That doesn't mean that all five are pro bowlers, but it's an elite offensive line as a group. And as a result, they had a hell of an offense. They did whatever they wanted, and average playmakers became big-time playmakers behind that line. And it happens. It's not rare. If you got a great offensive line, for example, Steve, go back to the early 70s, the Dolphins, Langer, Little, Kuchenberg. The other two guys were okay. You got three studs up front. All of a sudden, they're averaging 220 yards rushing. Steve, Jim Kick. Steve, you remember Jim Kick. There's nothing special about him.
Ira.
I didn't remember 5 years ago.
Ira, come on. It's a totally different game. Look, I think this all starts, and this is sort of where it's interesting. This all starts, this debate among fans, chatting about it here, wherever you are, probably even at One Buck Palace. It all starts with how you really evaluate Robert Hainsey. Right. So if you think that Hainsey is, you know what? He's probably a top 20 center, 19, 20, 22, somewhere in there. There's enough evidence that he can pass block. It is a passing league. The film isn't that great on him as a run blocker, but he's not getting blown to smithereens every play. So how do you evaluate him? A lot of fans think he's just total trash. More and more evaluators are jumping on that bandwagon as well. You know, I don't know. I don't think he's as bad as people make him out to be. So then it's a question of, okay, you're going to draft a center. He better be really good if you're going to get him in the first round, when a lot of teams get good centers in the second round, third round. There are plenty of good centers that are got in the first round as well. But it's just like any first round pick before the draft. Anybody can just scream about they shouldn't do this, they shouldn't do this, they shouldn't do this. But whoever they pick, if the guy's any good, then you're just happy as hell to have him because he's a successful player. Like just like if O.J. Howard, who they didn't really need at the time, was the player everybody wanted him to be, it would have been like, well, great pick. This is great. He got a 10-year tight end. He could do it all. He's going to set Bucks records. And so I don't have a problem with him drafting a center if the guy's good. If the guy stinks, you just made a colossal, horrible error, which I wouldn't necessarily say if it was an edge rusher who didn't pan out, because you know what? Edge rusher is more important. You got to go for it. If you guys got talent, you try your best. If he makes it, he makes it. But the center, you better not miss. If you're going to take a first-round center, you better not miss because you didn't have to find your center in the first round. So that's where I stand.
Can you call it a colossal mistake when you're picking 26th, Lee? Can you have a colossal mistake at 26?
If you miss on a playmaker and you draft a center instead, hell yeah. I'm not against drafting a center. I'm not against drafting a guard. Matter of fact, they should draft a left guard, but not with a first-round pick. No, 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 no. And here's evidence why. The top 10 paid centers were drafted, on average, late in the third round. Armed with that information, why would you burn a first-round pick on a center when you need an edge rusher? You may need a running back. You may need a cornerback. I just don't understand that. I just think that's terrible value.
What if you have the center clearly rated better than the next available pass rusher?
Once again, value.
Value is the best player, Lee. Value is the best player.
Well, then go get that edge rusher then. Let's put it this way. I won't say anything more about it. Simply put, I will not, under any circumstances, draft a center or a left guard with the first round. I don't care if it's number 32. I don't care if it's number 31. Center and left guard in the first round are off my board. Period.
I can't see it, Lee. I just can't see it. If the guy's a hell of a player, I want him. And I don't want the seventh best pass rusher and a draft that's not great for edge rushers. I mean, that doesn't make any sense.
Well, I want a player too, but I don't want to spend a first round pick on a player that will never make a sack, that will never score a touchdown short of falling on a fumble in the end zone, that will never break up a pass. They'll never pick off a pass. They'll never catch a pass.
Aren't you describing a first round pick by the name of Joe Tryon?
And like Steve said, at least you're trying in the value position.
I don't know. I don't agree with you guys. I think when you veer off the board, you're asking for trouble.
Oh, wait a minute. I just said I don't have a problem drafting a center with the first round pick. Just don't miss. Don't miss because you're going a little beyond what you have to do. So don't miss. That's all. I have no problem with it. I mean, if the guy can play, everybody's happy. He's a hero. He's in the Pro Bowl. People are loving him up. He's here for 10 years, you know, but you don't have to do it. I mean, every position has stars that will bring down the average. You know, even if you look at the top 10 paid quarterbacks, you're going to find a lot of guys who are not taken early. But in the same, and you'll have, believe half the Pro Bowl centers last year were taken in the first round, but you still don't need to get a good one there. And the Bucs have proven that, and many other teams have too. So it's a fun debate, Ira. You know, even Pat Kerwin said today on Moving the Chains on Sirius XM NFL Radio, you know, he's a former personnel chief. He said a lot of teams will tell you that they love this guy in the first round, a guard or a center, but they don't have the nerve to do it because they know that they don't need to spend a first round pick there. Now we'll see what happens.
Hey, Lee, it sounds like our boy Kerwin is obsessed with Hainsey's backside. He keeps talking about Hainsey's backside. It's too soft. It's too skinny. I don't like Kerwin drilling down on his backside.
Well, Steve and I sort of heard the same thing. Steve, was it Hainsey's rookie year? But I think it was Hainsey's rookie year, maybe his second year. I can't remember specifically.
Yeah, we talked about
it. Well, Ira always forgets it because he's wound up about Kerwin. I think Kerwin's not the only one. So I want to remind Ira once again that there are other men that have a hang up about Hainsey's lower backside.
Steve, before we turn our attention to the brilliant orator, Zion McCollum, before we do that, I want to interject and back up, and I can just hear. 14 listeners clicking off their podcast. But yes, Lee, I'm going to bring up Michael Penix again, and here's why.
Thank you.
And here's my research, Steve. Here's my research. This is less than an hour ago. I thought I knew something, but I had to confirm it, and I just did. You're getting tired of me hearing me say it, that the Bucs, throughout their history, which is now 48 years, they don't draft and develop their own quarterback. They don't do it. They don't do it. It's a disaster. It's an embarrassment. It's humiliating. So here's Baker Mayfield. All right. He had a good season. I think I can speak for Lee DeKemper saying 2 years from now, we don't know that Mayfield will be the man. We don't know that. This ain't Josh Allen. We don't know that. So Penix, yeah, he'll be 26 in 2 years if he sits, and he's still there at 26, and the Bucks take him, and they don't move up, but they take him at 26. All right, here's my nugget, Steve. Play it as you will. There's 31 other franchises in this league, Mr. Isbits, and according to my research, none of them, zero, other than the Buccaneers, in their history, every other team has at least one quarterback, and most have several, that have been their starting quarterback for at least 6 years in a row, except one franchise, the Bucs. So that's why I say, Lee, in terms of sustained competitiveness, except for when they had four Hall of Fame defensive players, this team has never had sustained competitiveness. And I'm not talking about going 8-9 and getting blown out in a playoff game. I'm not talking about that. So, Lee, why are the Bucs the only franchise that doesn't have a franchise quarterback? Why? And doesn't that bother people? Am I the only one that's pissed off about this?
No, I don't think so, Ira, but I can answer your question. Why? Too many decades. of this franchise's history been run by morons. My best example was when the Bucks had Steve Young, and when they traded him to San Francisco,
right.
And he said this on Bill Walsh's biography on the NFL Network, I'll never forget, that Bill Walsh, he goes, hey, man, you're freelancing too much. This is all on timing. Your footwork, the reason why we're harping on your footwork is because of timing. And he went into detail why it was so important. And Steve Young had never heard that before. That's the difference between a good coach and a clown like Lehman Bennett.
Yeah, Young could have been the exception. Young could have been
exactly.
The guy. And should have been the guy. Yeah, he should have
been the guy. Sean Sullivan argues with Vinny Testaverde because he had some really strong years in the NFL once he left the Bucs.
So you think it's part of it is coaching, maybe a big part, Lee.
That's a big part. And, who was running the franchise, whether it be Culverhouse or... I hate to say this, Iris, sit down, but Father Dungy was not a quarterback developer. But I think coaching was a big, big, big part of it.
Hey, Ira, I don't know.
Sometimes they just pick the wrong guy, like Josh Freeman and Dilfer. It's the wrong guy.
I understand your pain, Ira, but I will say, in 2001, the Buccaneers went 9-7, got blown out in the playoffs. I don't know how that's any better than going 8-9 with Tom Brady and getting blown out. I really don't know how. So,
from 97 to 02, they had a very good team. They had a very good team.
Sure. And they did go 8-8 in there. There was some underachievement with that great team. But, I'm not discounting the three consecutive division titles and the fourth year being a Super Bowl. It's rare, and I'm not just going to flush it away because we're in the midst of it right now, Sage. But, look, this is the time of year where passions run hot. We had our famous 2019 podcast when Lee went wild in Hooters on Hillsborough Avenue there, our good friends over there, and with the Josh Allen, the edge rusher debate with Devin White. It was an instant classic. And you know what? Maybe I'll have to download that and cut it out and re-listen to it and that part of it. Maybe we should run it as a little clip. It might be fun in our mock draft podcast that'll come out before the draft. But
Ira and I were both correct, as it turned out. We're both correct.
Yeah, look, White was a great pick that helped them get the job done, and Josh Allen turned into the highest paid pass rusher in history. So it's what makes the draft fun, Ira. But like I like to say, hey, once the guy puts his uniform on, you love him. He's a rookie. He's trying his best. You hope they got a smart guy, and Jason Light seems to be on an incredible role drafting high character guys that are willing to work, and hasn't been any trouble with these guys, and the rookie class was so successful last year within their within their abilities. One thing that was very interesting, Ira, Derek Brooks, he has this podcast with Ian Beckles, and he was talking about the draft, and apparently he's working closely with John Lynch discussing things, and it's changing the way you look at players and evaluate them. And he talked about a little bit about other people as well. I've talked about how the modern player is a little more entitled, aside from having money. It's a different work ethic, different mindset. And Jason Light seems to find these guys who have incredible work ethic. It's obviously way high on their things to consider. You Cody Mauch, the farmer, you've got Yaya Diaby, who was working in the airport. I mean, a lot of these guys have really interesting stories. Rashad White working, was it Walmart? I don't remember what it was when he was drafted. The Light seems to have the right formula to find these guys. Cansey had a great rookie season, or a very impressive rookie season, and I expect that to continue.
Lee, I'll say this for Light. I mean, when he talks about the high character, and they put a premium on it. It's not just talk. The results are impressive, as you guys have mentioned many times. You read about other teams, locker room problems, dissension, bickering, receivers, bitching, not enough targets. That doesn't happen at one buck. Now, Lee, maybe one exception. I think Devin White was an attitude problem the last couple of years. I think he was. I think stuff happened behind the scenes that the Bulls had to clean up. And, of course, Bowles went out of his way in public to defend White. But I think he was a problem in the locker room.
Hey,
Lee, I do. But that's a rare exception. Lee,
Ira, I got a problem for you. You know what's a problem?
Go ahead.
You know what's a problem? Drafting Michael Penix with Baker Mayfield in your locker room with a brand new contract and the chip on his shoulder and the loyalty that these guys feel to Mayfield, and you're going to stick a quarterback in there. As Bruce Arians used to say, if you have two, you have none. I don't like it on any level whatsoever, and I don't think it's going to help the Bucs win a Super Bowl in 2 years. So how about that? I think Mayfield and Penix are a problem together.
Well, that tells me that you don't trust Mayfield to be a professional about this. Steve, he was at the bottom of the heap a year ago. Now, he's had one good season for the Buccaneers. One. I'm not laying all my bets on Baker Mayfield. I'm not doing it. If I have a chance to develop a young guy who throws the best deep ball in this draft, Lee, including Caleb Williams, Jalen Daniels, and Drake May. He's the best long thrower in this group, Lee. A lot of astute draft people acknowledge that. If Mayfield can't handle it, Lee, that's on Mayfield. I'm not bringing Penix in to be a day one starter. That's off the board. No, Mayfield's earned it. It's his job. He's the quarterback. But I'd like some options besides Kyle Trask, Lee, and Wolford. I mean, am I wrong there? Now, Lee, what I was going to ask you was, and tell me why you think this is, the Lights had a lot more success, Lee, drafting certain positions than other positions. Lee, why is that? I'm looking at edge rusher. I'm looking at running back. Maybe corner. I see problems. I see problems. When I look at offensive line, wide receiver, I see very astute Jason Light. Why is that, Mr. DeKemper?
Before that, I want to say that I'm in your ring. I'm in your corner when you're out in the ring with your bout with Hizbits about Penix. When you come back to your corner, I've got the stool ready for you. I'm squirting water in your mouth. I'm sponging your face down. So I'm right with you. Sorry, Steve. I'm right with Ira. Well, here's why Light or his staff, you know, at the end of the day, it's Light, why he may have a blind spot for some positions and nails others. DNA. I'll give you an analogy. You're a baseball guy, an old-time baseball guy. You know this better than anybody, Ira. You could take a pitcher, whether it be Juan Marichal, Bob Gibson, Sandy Koufax, whomever, Steve Carlton, and there's always some 220 hitter, for whatever reason, owns the guy. He's
That's
got
right.
the Hall of Fame pitcher, but there's always some Mickey Mouse hitter that owns this guy, and vice versa.
That's very true. Yes.
And why that is, I don't know how to describe that, but it just is. DNA, it's a blind spot. And to reinforce your point about Light and the character, and Steve brought this up as well, about the character guys, and I'm surprised you really didn't emphasize this, Ira. Usually you do, and you're absolutely correct at this. The glaring example of Light nailing it with his character players is receiver.
Yeah.
How hard is it to find receivers that are not divas? It's borderline possible, yet Light always does it.
No question about it. I mean, look at A.J. Brown, Steve, in Philly. He's a problem. The guy's a problem. I'm not sure what went on behind the scenes with Tyreek Hill in Kansas City, but I think he might have been a little bit of a problem. I don't think that's the main reason they shipped him off, but I don't think he was great in the locker room. Lee's right. The best example, Steve, that character issue you're talking about is Evans and Godwin. That is the glaring example.
Well, Sage, I got to disagree with you. I think the Bucs and Jason Light have done a tremendous job at cornerback. They won the Super Bowl with guys they drafted out there with second.
Come on, Isbeth. That's unacceptable. I'm not gonna let you get away with that kind of nonsense.
What am I getting away with? They
shut down Pat Mahomes. What do you mean?
Ira,
they didn't shut him down. The pass rush shut him down.
Ira, they had three cornerbacks on the field, two second round picks. And Jamel Dean as a third rounder. I mean, that's success. That's at least above average that you drafted your own Super Bowl cornerbacks who went on to good contracts. You were banging the drum for
Jamel. Just got rid of one of them. Got rid of him. He's in his prime. Got rid of him.
Well, that's a decision that they made. That's not doesn't mean he was a bad draft pick as a second round pick. He played.
Well, I'm not saying he was a bad pick, Steve, but I wouldn't use him as a glaring example of being astute. What? I wouldn't.
Why not?
Ira, are you saying that the Bucks would have still shut down Mahomes in the Super Bowl if E.J. Biggers and Myron Lewis were on the field?
I think they probably would have held him to about 17 or 20 points that day. Yeah.
You know, and Murphy Bunting isn't here anymore, but he's got a big fat contract now. He wasn't a bust in the NFL in any way. McCollum, we're going to see, but I trust them to develop the guy. He's a good athlete. He seems like he's ready. We'll see if he can find his first interception. Jamel Dean didn't have one last year either. But
you want to throw Hargraves in the group too, Hispitz?
Okay, well, I was going to throw Hargraves in to give you Hargraves, but if I'm going to give you Hargraves, then you got to give me, of the 3 years he was here, 2 years, Brent Grimes was phenomenal.
He didn't draft him.
He didn't draft him. He didn't draft him. You're right. But I think overall, I can't put cornerback as a Jason Light doesn't know how to draft a cornerback. I can't really go there.
I agree with that, but I wouldn't use it, you know, in a positive way like the offensive line and wide receiver. I think that's a notch below.
All right, Sage, I can't disagree, but there's a problem at running back. I really believe there is a problem at running back. There have been too many good running backs. I mean, it's years and years and years that the Bucs either didn't grab or they grabbed other guys or they just haven't found that guy yet as far as a runner. You know, nothing to do with Rashad White as a pass catcher, but there's a problem there, and hopefully it gets fixed this time around.
I thought for maybe 6 months or a year that Ronald Jones could be the guy. You know, not Adrian Peterson, but you know, like a consistent 900,000 yard rusher. It didn't happen, Lee. I don't know what happened with Ronald Jones.
When I think what happened with Ronald Jones was he got his head screwed up. Either Dirk Cutter or Dirk Cutter's running back coach. Remember that Arians all but said a couple times that they had to get Ronald Jones' mind right. I think that was one term that Arians used. Cutter absolutely gave up on Ronald Jones virtually immediately. And if you look at Cutter's history, it's not very good at developing running backs. But it was pretty clear that Cutter wanted little to do with Ronald Jones, and whether that sparked a depression with Ronald Jones or got him spiraling down the drain. But there was something in between years that was messed up with Ronald Jones. We've seen it, or we saw it a couple times, you know, like running out of bounds right before the first down marker when no one was near him, you know, that kind of crap.
Yeah, you know, that's a mystery. Steve, he was out of the league quickly. He just couldn't get it going. I thought for about a year, Steve, he had a bright future. I really did.
Yeah, look, he had a couple of pretty good years with the Bucs. He had one great year with the Bucs, and then 2021, you know, he still found 4.2 yards a carry, which would be miracle work around these last couple of years. But he's out of the league. He's still only 26. He had the performance drug issue last year with the Cowboys, and you know, it's a weird story. So what do you think of anything stood out to you, Ira, from Clyde Jucansi, McCollum, and Rashad White talked to the media today? Interesting, Ira, I thought, you know, considering that this was the first day back to work and it's optional, Baker Mayfield and Tristan Wirfs were there, according to the Buccaneers photos that they put out. And look, both of these guys had their first child this month, and it was optional, but they showed up. What do you think of all that?
I'm very impressed with it. It shows commitment, and that goes a long way. It does. Lee, I remember when Keyshawn Johnson joined the Bucs, and you know, after cajoling Sapp and a couple other players at a Pro Bowl to lean on Dungy and Rich McKay to bring Keyshawn Johnson to Tampa. And then when they made the deal, first training camp, first OTAs, not training camp, OTAs, no Keyshawn. Sapp called him up. What's going on? Hey, I'm out in L.A. I got some real estate business to take care of. Well, me, Brooks, Lynch, and Barber, we're here. We're working out. And Sapp never really respected him after that, Lee. Lee, it's voluntary, but it means something. It means something when your best players, a la Wirfs, Mayfield, are your leaders and lead you in attitude. That means something. That absolutely means something. Lee, I got a question I want to ask Steve just for going back for 1 second to Rashad White. It's interesting because I don't really disagree with Lee's point that he doesn't seem to be a natural runner between the tackles. I can't argue with Lee about that. I can't. At this point in White's career, he's not a rookie. Do you think, Steve, he's got some kind of a fatal flaw as a running back in terms of reading blocks? Something that can be markedly improved, or he kind of is what he is, a great target out of the backfield who excels at making people miss as a receiver, but struggles, with his yards per carry. Steve, can that be really fixed at this point?
I think so. It just depends on how good the coach is and the nuance of it all, what exactly his issue is. I don't know. I don't really know. We're not talking about – we don't think he's going to be some sort of Pro Bowl breakout, explosive, 1,300-yard guy. The question is, can he get to 4.2 yards a carry with a little less work and, maybe 200 carries at 4.2, and there's your 900-yard guy and everything's efficient. Maybe he can do that. White seems to think that a lot of it's just his mentality. And they're on his case to, he was saying today, so no solo tackles. Nobody, you got to have multiple guys dragging you down. They're on his case. Well, why do they even have to be on his case about that? Because he went soft last year and he admits it. But why are you going soft in your second year after you just played with Tom Brady, who was probably screaming at you? Just hit the damn hole, I don't know. But it's not typical for a rookie running back to come in, and then 2 years later he's still working on getting better at what seems to be basics.
It's a shame, Lee, because he's such a fantastic target out of the backfield. He's great.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
He's great.
You know what? And White's aware of this because he said today his goal is to improve his yards per carry.
Yeah.
He came right out and said it. So he knows he needs to improve there. In some ways, that's half the battle. Some of these guys, their egos are so large, they can't imagine it not that good. And he comes out and says, I need more yards per carry. And I give him credit for that.
Lee, as a complimentary back, do you want a speedster or do you want a guy that can push the pile on third and two?
Well, it's interesting you brought this up because I was doing some research on the guy. I think you could argue that Dave Canales misused Rashad White last year. By the way, there's another one, Ira. I wouldn't draft a running back in the first round.
Right.
And I've had a general manager just scold me about that. NFL general manager, I told him, I've never drafted a running back in the first round. He didn't like that. But at any rate, second day might be too early, unless it's the third round. This estimate, he's a power back. I think that would be a nice compliment with Rashad White. Don't use him up the middle as much.
Steve, there's also that Michigan runner, Corum. He's good. He's good. I don't know what round he's going in. I don't think he's going in the first round, but he'd look good at one buck play, Steve. I don't know where he'd fall in the draft, though.
My only issue with him, Ira, and it's only the only issue I can see, he's got a lot of worn tread in those tires. A lot. He was used a lot at Michigan. He blew his knee out already. I can't see him getting a second contract with whatever team drafts him. I hate to say that, but
He runs with power, Lee. He runs with power.
Yes. He's a very physical runner. Yes, sir.
Sage, I don't know. I just think the team is close. I know you've said that you don't think they're that close. I think they're close. I think when you get where they got last year and you look at the rest of the NFC, they're close. And I want to see them make some win now moves. I don't care if the running back might only have 3 years on him. Let's go. Let's go get this thing. I don't want to be, let's say the Bucs get exactly where they got last year, Ira. They win a playoff game. They're neck and neck in the fourth quarter against somebody in the divisional round. I don't want to look on the bench and look at Michael Penix in the face and say, damn, boy, we could have really used this wide receiver right now or this pass rusher. I think they're that close, Ira. I know you don't. So for me, that affects the whole draft. And I don't know what the Glazers really think or Jason Light. I thought he slipped up and tripped up a little bit at his news conference last week. There was a time where he said something like, as the Super Bowl contender in a couple of years. I mean, this year, thought it was a tip-off slip up, but I don't know. That's where I am, Ira, when I look at all these guys, because they got far enough. The conference isn't very good. I think you gotta take your shot. I'm not sure they're thinking that way though.
It's a very interesting question you posed, Steve. Very interesting. I got to give them a lot of credit, and especially Bowles and Light. 13 rookies lead. I got a lot younger last year and still had a winning record. I mean, that's impressive. That is impressive. And Bowles wasn't afraid. leader to play the young players. Significant snaps in big moments. So I got to give that to Bowles. I still think, Lee, when I'm looking at the hierarchy, and Steve's right, the NFC is not particularly powerful in comparison to their counterpart. Lee, I still see a gap between the Niners, maybe the Lions, not so much the Cowboys, because I'm just not sold on them. But the Niners and the Lions, maybe I'm forgetting another team from the NFC, but I think there's a gap. Now, having said that, the Bucs played Detroit tough on the road. They got bounced by the Niners. To me, the Niner roster is clearly better than the Buck roster.
Part of it is their style of play. The Bucs just don't match up with a physical team. Niners are a physical team. They hung right with Detroit. That was good.
They did.
And the Cowboys, I think there's a gap there, only because, as I stated about the 49ers, Cowboys are a physical team. And the Bucs are not. And that's a bad matchup for the Bucs, a physical team. So until they can get that corrected, I don't know if they need to draft another defensive tackle. I know Steve probably crapping in his pants, me saying that. I don't think that's absurd if they go out and draft another defensive tackle. I do not expect the rookie edge rusher to do anything. That was one of the reasons I was going so bananas about Hassan Reddick. He could have stepped right in. There's your pass rusher. The rookie, that's asking a little too much. Oh, and by the way, people complain about Hassan Reddick might be $15 million. Isn't it looking like a bargain right now?
Yeah.
And of course, Josh Allen broke the bank. So that $50 million is laughable right now for a proven edge rusher. I don't know what it takes for the Bucs to become a physical team again. I don't know if it's a defensive tackle. I don't know if it's a linebacker.
Lee, I'd be all in favor of them drafting a defensive tackle in the first round if they, scouted the guy and thought that was a fit. I think that would be fantastic. I don't think you can have too many of those guys. And there is a little flexibility to Vita Vea and Kalijah Kancey, and Todd Bowles is all about creativity. If you've got a dog to stick in there, that's fine with me. It's way better than watching a quarterback on the bench wondering if he can make a tackle.
Steve, do you think that Leighton, the scouts, got hung up a little bit on we got to draft a defensive lineman the last couple of years, and that was a factor maybe in JTS, and certainly he's down to his last prove it year. Logan Hall, I'm losing a little patience with, Steve. You think he got hung up a little bit on the position rather than the player in those two circumstances?
Well, the 2021 draft is bizarre because they literally, if you go look it up, they literally were out there saying, well, we re-signed everybody, and somebody, I think it was Light, I'm going to pull it up, somebody called it a special teams draft that they were going to be filling holes on special teams, and they get Tryon Shanka, who is a bit of a project, and didn't he sit out his COVID year? I think he sat out the year before he played, and then Trask obviously was a developmental thing, and then you get Hainsey at the end of the third round, who's a tackle in college, and you're looking to move him inside, and he's a late pick. They didn't take that draft with the mindset of let's go get one more friggin' playmaker and try to juice this thing up a little bit more. They looked at it as just fill in the blanks a little bit. And I don't want to fill in the blanks. I think they're close enough where you got to, throw your big fastball on the 0-2 count and try to knock it out here. So, I do think they got a little too cute with, we can afford some developmental guys. And I think, I don't know if it was by position, but I think the attitude was off.
Steve, would you consider trading up for a guy like Verse if he's there at 16 or 18 as a rusher, as an edge rusher?
Well, that's a long way to go. You're probably going to have to give up a third-round pick and maybe a sixth-round pick as well. It's a long way to go. If you're Jason Light, if you look at his last 10 third-round picks, I think he's hit. If you're realistic on what you expect from a third rounder, he's hit on 9 out of 10. I don't think he's eager to throw one of those away.
Yeah, probably true.
I got a trivia question for you. Name the position that Light has drafted the most since he took over back in 2014. What position has he drafted the most?
Guard.
Defensive line. I think the news this afternoon that the Bucs brought back Will Golston, I think that's a big red flag that they're on the fence with Logan Hall. Like you said, you're losing patience with him. I think the Bucs are there. Like, this is a do-or-die year for him. And, you know, Steve kind of thought the reason why they brought Goldston back at the last moment, like the day before the training camp started, was they weren't, that they were getting spooked by Logan Hall. I don't disagree, because I had heard through the grapevine they were kind of grooming Logan Hall to be the next Will Goldston. Well, if you bring Will Goldston back another time, and he's in his 30s, and he, you know, you can tell he's declined in the last couple of years, his production. I think that's a red flag about Logan Hall. Not that we haven't seen it, because we haven't seen Logan Hall do anything, but it looks like this is do or die year for Logan Hall, and I hate to say it, but we're coming damn close to the only thing Logan Hall has ever done for this franchise was kill Ryan Jensen's career.
You know, that's an interesting way to look at the Will Goldston situation, Lee. I hadn't thought about it in those terms. Steve, what I say about Logan Hall, I haven't changed my mind in a couple of years. He looks like a guy who doesn't have a position. I'm not sure what he is, and I'm not sure what he's good at. And I think Todd Bowles is thinking the same way. So, you know, I don't know if there's a direct link between frustration with Hall and bringing back Goldston. I don't mind Goldston, but he is what he is, Steve. He is what he is. He's a two-down left end, you know, who's pretty stout against the run and might be able to block one kick a year. That's what he is.
Well, hey, Sage, it's probably a situation like it is with Joe Tryon-Shanka. So, like, you remember how Todd Bowles explained that he's a nickelback, he's an inside linebacker, he's doing all these things that you can't see, making all kinds of plays, and that we need him to keep doing those things. It's probably some sort of secret hidden stuff that he's doing that it's just too high level for you, Ira. It's too high level.
That sort of reminds me of Ira. It's Logan Hall, like you said. It's like they can't figure out, is he an end? Is he a tackle? Well, after three seasons, this is his third season, right? Coming
right,
up.
Right.
Now, so after two seasons, actually, this is starting to smell like Ryan Smith. Remember Ryan Smith? Oh, he's a corner. Well, he's a safety. Well, he's a corner. He's a safety. Well, he screwed up, is what he is, and he got rid. He was a good special teams guy.
Then. He was a good special teamer. He was.
But he
was.
He kept getting bounced between safety and rookie. It's like they didn't know what to do with him, and in the meantime, they screwed him up for good. Starting to smell that with Logan Ryan. Or Logan Hall, excuse me.
And Lee, wasn't that MJ Stewart? He's another guy like that? MJ Stewart? Remember that?
He was slow. Did they draft him as a corner? And I think you're right. They might have tried him out at safety. It didn't work so well. But isn't he still in the league? I think the guy's still in the league.
Oh, yeah. He's got a new contract, a good one, too.
Good for him. Still collecting.
Yeah, they're all still collecting a check. Ira, Sage, I was just going to say, Swaggy Baker had half a sack and 24 solo tackles in his year with the Bucks. Last year, Hall had half a sack and 11 solo tackles. He had less quarterback hits than Swaggy and same amount of tackles for loss. So I don't know. It's not fair to two different defenses, but these guys play the same number of games, same number of starts, and Swaggy wasn't exactly putting out a lot of effort. So, that's just how it goes.
When you get compared to Swaggy Baker, you're in a little bit of trouble. You're done, man.
All right. Hey, Ira, I got one last important question for you, and then we're out of here. BillCurryFord.com, BillCurryFord.com. Curry is the family name, C-U-R-R-I-E, C-U-R-R-I-E. Get there. Family-owned matters. GM Sean Sullivan, he will help you personally. That means a lot. Whatever it is you're looking for, body work. Service. They got 67 service bays, the largest service department in the nation, Ira. It's unreal what's going on there. BillCurryFord.com. And remember, as we heard earlier, our friends at Florida's Elite Restoration. Get there today to their website so you're ready. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. So, Ira, Jason Light spoke last week, and we really didn't get into the details. We talked all about it before he spoke. But I just have to ask you this very simply. Is there anything that Light said ultimately at that news conference, Ira, that just wasn't GM speak bullshit?
Well, I liked when he said he wouldn't rule out taking a quarterback. Lee, how do you like that? I know that drives Buck fans crazy. Just drives them crazy. Just drives Steve crazy. Steve, Light doesn't give away much. Lee, we've been through 11 of these now. He doesn't. He doesn't give you much. He will tell you where he thinks the draft is strong and deep. He will. But as far as which way they're leaning, I don't think we expect anything from Light in that respect, and we're never disappointed, right, Lee, in that regard. And you know what, Lee, he's just doing his job. I mean, can we really expect a GM to tip his hand, Lee? The Glazers are watching on video. They're not going to be happy if he says, I got my eyes on three guys that I think we're going to move up. We're really seriously considering it. Why would he go there? So I got no problems with Light's pre-draft press conferences, even though Lee's not filling up our notebooks very much.
Lee, did he say anything that you didn't think was baloney?
No, because he really didn't give. I didn't think he gave us anything like Ira said. So you can't say baloney because it was nothing. nothing times nothing is nothing.
They want another running back, Steve. I think that's clear from some of the things we talked about with Light and Bowles in Indianapolis, Steve. I think we're going to bet that the running back room is going to look a little bit different.
Yeah, and he mentioned that to you in Indianapolis when he recorded your pod, Ari. He mentioned that they were looking to add to the running back room, or at least he said that in so many words.
Yeah,
I agree, Ira. Well, I thought the only thing that was just was sort of fun that you don't usually hear, because every year it's the same thing. Oh, yeah, we don't rule out a quarterback, you know. When he said that if they look at the mock drafts and too many mock drafts are pointing toward a guy that they like, they'll try to say some things and make sure that the attitudes change out there. Basically, that they'll try to make up some stuff to change some people's attitudes. I thought that was kind of funny. You know who they'd be calling in our town, Ira, who will repeat anything that they say and believe it?
The one guy that I see being mocked to the Bucks with increasing frequency is Kool-Aid McKinstry. I guess he's a workout warrior. You know, size, speed. Do they need a corner, Steve? Yeah, they need a corner. I can't say they don't, because like Lee, McCollum's got a ways to go to show consistency. By the way, Steve, one more thing I want to say is listening to McCollum today at One Buck. One thing I like about McCollum, besides his size and his athleticism, he's confident, Lee. He's confident. And I think that is at that position, that's a major factor. You can't have a weak-minded individual. You're going to get beat. You're playing against great receivers almost every week. You're going to get beat. The question is, how do you bounce back? And I think McCollum scores high on that facet.
That's a good point, Ira. What do they always say about cornerbacks? You're going to get burned. Sooner or later, you will get burned. I mean, Jerry Rice beat Deion Sanders. Even. You just got to forget it. You got to forget it. And what's interesting, a little side note about that, I was rewatching a NFL Network documentary about Marty Schottenheimer. Marty Schottenheimer not only was a big believer in that, you got to forget the play. As soon as the play's over, you got to forget it, no matter what happens. Touchdown, interception, pick six, doesn't matter. Forget it. But he said every player has to be of that mentality, not just cornerbacks. Every player. The pass, you can't change the pass. You can't dwell on the pass. You got to worry about what's in front of you, and that's the next play.
I agree, Lee. But, you know, Lee, you know, cornerback is special. It's special. And, you know, they're out there on that island. If a guy runs for, 76 yards, you know, nobody's screaming about the left end. Well, what are you doing? You should have had him at the line of scrimmage. It's sort of a team thing. With a cornerback, Steve, we tend to focus on who's to blame for that. Who's the one guy we can pin that touchdown pass on? Corners have to have that short memory, Steve. They have to have.
That's a great point, Ira. Like you said, they're on an island, so just two guys usually in that frame, in that TV frame. It's the receiver and the defensive back.
Yes.
All right, Sage. Well, look, Logan Hall can play corner if he has to, so don't worry too much. And
or nickelback, Steve, or nickelback.
Or nickel. And I think McCollum's going to get better, actually, in training camp as a full-fledged starter, you know, covering Evans and Godwin. Not that he didn't do some of that last year, but he'll do more of it this year. And, you know, he and Evans went to the same high school. Evans is going to look out for his guy, and I think he might develop a little more this summer than a lot of people might be thinking about.
He could be the breakout guy for the Bucks this year. He could be.
He doesn't have far to go. He didn't do too much last year, but we'll see. What's for lunch tomorrow? And then we're out.
Going to Five Guys, meet somebody for lunch. And by the way, I'm not happy with their prices anymore. They bumped up. Used to be able to get a hot dog for about $4. Now it's like $7. Well, what's going on over there, Lee? But I think some some fries. They give you a mountain of fries. I wish they had a real small portion that I'd get. So I'm thinking a dog, mustard. I don't think they have sauerkraut over there, Steve. That's a travesty. Absolutely.
Where's that, Ira?
All right,
where's this at?
Five Guys.
Are you sure they don't have sauerkraut?
I don't think they do, Lee. I'm going to bring it up to the guy at the counter tomorrow.
Hey, Ira, just a little tip. You don't have to eat all the fries.
Bring them home. You can snack on them later.
All right, talk to you boys later in the week.
See you, Ira.